Alrighty, so I'm here with President Eyring and his lovely wife, Sister Eyring, and we're going to be talking about their devotional addresses today. It's the first devotional of the winter semester, so it's pretty exciting. Are you guys excited, nervous, or?
I think we're pretty excited, very excited, actually. I love the beginning of a semester.
Amen, and especially with a good day, good weather day, and new students on campus. It's a great way to start the semester.
Well, I'm sure glad you guys are excited because I know lots of students probably are having the mixed excitement at this point of feeling overwhelmed and all of that. But that segues right into the topics that you guys chose. First, Sister Eyring, I want to start with you. The topic you chose was optimism. Well, why did you choose that topic?
I think that we all have the opportunity to face everything that we enjoy in this life, either with optimism or fear or trepidation. And sometimes there is that mix, yeah, especially at the beginning of a semester for a new student. But I really want to send the message that we can choose. We can choose optimism. We can choose to see the challenges and the wonderful things around us with complete optimism. And that's truly because of the Savior. And that's really what my message will come to today.
I think you give a little bit of an invitation at the end for students to write down in a notebook or a personal journal if they have it. Why did you choose to extend that specific invitation?
Well, anyone who knows the Eyring family at all knows that we're all about writing journals that my father-in-law, President Eyring, writes a journal every night. And that tradition has then also been kept by my husband, who also writes every night, and is being kept by me to a lesser extent, but still there. I actually help contribute to his journal nightly. But I think it's important to write those things down so that they become part of your story, and you can shape your story by what you write. You can take a positive view of what happened to you that day as you write, and it really will shape the way you see what happens to you in your life. So I want them to write down what they hope for, but maybe also what they are grateful for and what they saw today that made today a good day, and that will help them see the rest of the semester that way.
That's true. I liken my journal. In fact, I've got a tagline for it, based on a true story. and Sister Eyring's absolutely right that it's an opportunity to look at the parts of the day that were most blessed and most inspired, arranged by heaven. And I think it's fair to do that. It's a biographer would probably want to go in and dig up some other things, but I don't have that responsibility. And it's especially nice to be writing about the positive aspects of our children's lives, which are many.
Got to add that in there. Yeah. So knowing that this is such a tradition in your family, what advice do you have for those of us who maybe aren't as diligent in journal writing on how to make it more of a habit?
You know, I think you want to start in ways that are doable for you. So I have to say that I was told by Kelly on behalf of heaven that I needed to do this. And I decided to do it on a nightly basis. Although when I became a mission president, that was very hard. And I got to the point of writing less often. If I was on a long train ride somewhere in Japan, I had that opportunity. Or if I could take a portion of my preparation day, I would get caught up. But I think you want to have a couple of hedges built into your commitment to say, I'll keep a regular journal. One of them is that you ought to do what time allows. And the other is that you ought to focus on these very most precious experiences, and especially the non-obvious ones, where you could have written it off to a coincidence, something that happened that really bailed you out and or blessed you in some way. And I think it's like receiving gifts. It's when you get the gift, you want to write the card, the thank you card, immediately. Mm-hmm. And so that's probably the way to think about it. And then as you get older and your children go away, then you can rope them into your service, which I have done.
Which we have done. That is true.
I Sister Irene and I call, and we extract a nightly report from them.
They're pretty happy to share, I think.
I hope so.
I think so. Because they get written up really well. Whatever they give you gets turned into something really nice.
Yeah. No, the guys, my sons are 7 feet tall in my journal.
There we go. That the posterity would be like, wow, I didn't realize life was so peachy at that point.
No. He does include challenges, but really does show how heaven blesses us. I think it's also wonderful that your dad, President Eyring, writes at the top of his journal, he calls it the small plates. And so he's careful to include, and he's very careful. I mean, he doesn't explain too much, but he does indicate that he has felt the hand of heaven in his day, and it's really sweet.
And I think people will be, the impact on future generations of those records, we can't really see that yet, but I'm sure it will be wonderful. Mm-hmm. I had a chance to look at the promotional video for your devotional, and I just had to ask you, President Eyring, if you really do struggle that much with bowling.
No, it's not totally not true. He's a great athlete, and so he can bowl beautifully. But it was fun.
But the truth of the matter is that when I rolled the inaugural ball, it was a gutter ball.
Oh man. Yeah. For everyone there to see.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, that was great.
No, we had fun with that. Mm-hmm. And I think all of us have got things in our lives that seem beyond us, and it requires optimism and positive mental attitude to accomplish anything. And BYU Idaho is wonderful in that regard. I think there's a spirit of optimism here. And it derives from many, many things, the way the faculty and other employees of the university treat the students, the way we welcome almost all spiritually worthy people who apply. We've got a very high acceptance rate. Mm-hmm. We believe that everybody has divine potential here, and collectively we're working on that. And so, now it's true, I'm not as bad a bowler as it seems. But I think it's probably helpful for all of us, especially those of us who are a little bit older and have had time to develop skills. It's helpful to let the younger generation know that these things take time and not everyone has all gifts.
Right. I think that's super important. I just have, I guess, one last question with regards to your address specifically, President Eyring, is how you talk a lot about how this is such a wonderful time to be alive and we have so many positive things to look at and can have such a great impact on the world, even if we don't seem like we're in a position of great influence. But there is that negativity in the news that you mentioned and things like that. So how can we guard against that, keep that from, I guess, permeating our attitudes and our lives?
It's a great question. I think the answer is we all need to be our own news editors, right? And each of us is de facto, is in fact a, each of us is a newsroom. We're getting all these news feeds, right? I mean, in the old days, William Randolph Hearst was a publisher and he had to hire professional reporters to go out and get the news. Well, now that world has been tipped upside down, and that is whether you want the news or not, you're going to get it. And you're going to be influenced then by news that may not be well motivated. And so you've got to be your own editor. You've got to make those decisions. And you know, I think that's true of life generally, that the adversary will put temptations in front of us that we have to edit all the time. And so it's what you want to do is you want to be rooted in your testimony of the gospel and of the Savior's atonement. You need to be rooted in your testimony that the world is on its way to being celestialized. And if you look for celestial aspects, in especially in your own personal life, it's kind of hard. You may or may not get that sent to you via social media, unless you choose really, really carefully. But you can be your own reporter through the day. And if you look for the good, you'll see it. There was a wonderful exchange between Elijah and Elisha, a current prophet and the soon-to-be prophet. And Elisha didn't think he was up to Elijah's level of miracles. I mean, literally calling down fire from heaven and single-handedly defeating armies. And Elisha thought, yeah, I won't be able to do that. I need a double portion of your spirit. And as Elijah said, when I'm taken up into heaven, as he was, and if you see it, you'll have this wish that you've asked of me, and that is you can have that double portion of his spirit. And as Elijah was taken up, his mantle fell from the chariot of fire, and Elisha saw it, and he picked it up. And that's what each of us has the opportunity and the responsibility spiritually to do for ourselves every moment of every day.
Did you have anything else you would like to add, Sister Irene?
Just that we're so happy to be here, so happy to be starting this new semester, and we hope that the students will feel that same excitement and happiness and hope in the Savior.
Amen.
Thank you all so much for your time. We so much appreciate it. And I know our listeners appreciate being able to hear this more intimate, behind-the-scenes look at your devotional addresses. And once again, we're here with President and Sister Irene just talking about their devotional addresses that are going to kick off this new semester for all of the students here at BYU-Idaho. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
Thank you.